Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries, lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at synagogues, seats of honor at banquets, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher. You are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven. Do not be called master. You have but one master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Olive Lent is a commentary on the message of Ash Wednesday, but we're called to intensify it as we go through these 40 days plus, to turn away from sin, be faithful to the gospel, to rend not our outer clothing, but to rend our insides, so that God who rends might come in and repair, ultimately to do everything in, with, and for the Heavenly Father, so that we will fast, we will pray, we will give of ourselves and what we have for the Father and together as an extension of the Father's love. Today's iteration of that perennial Lenten theme helps us to get serious about what God is asking. We start with the beginning of the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he uses for God some very strong language. He refers to the people of his age as the princes of Sodom and the people of Gomorrah, the most notoriously sinful places in the Old Testament. And yet it's used by the church at the beginning of today's liturgy at the end of the second week of our Lenten practice. And we recognize that Jesus, when he came, said that if the deeds he was doing in our midst had been done in ancient Sodom, or if they had been done in licentious Tyre, the people of those two places would long ago have been found like the people of Nineveh in sackcloth and ashes. And yet there's a greater appeal here. Jesus makes that appeal. And he wants us to grasp that what we're not trying to change are a bunch of peccadillos, small little things, but to get to the real heart of whether we are doing things in communion with the Lord. Jesus in the gospel gets to the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, who are doing things just on the outside, doing things for show, but their hearts weren't becoming more like God, despite the multiplication of religious observances. Jesus says that they have the exact opposite of the spirit of Lent. They do things, he says, for other people to see. They preach, but they don't practice, especially in the inside. They lay heavy burdens on others, but they're not doing anything to help people live and carry those burdens. They want titles. They want to be esteemed. Rabbi, that word means in Hebrew, the great one. He doesn't want them to seek that type of greatness. Father, so that they don't have to obey, but they can command. And he reminds that there's just one Father who ultimately needs to obey and be obeyed out of love. Master, they like to be teachers rather than students, know-it-alls rather than hungry learners. He says we've got but one Master, the Messiah, the one sent by God to show us. So there's a conversion, whether we're converting from sins like scarlet, or whether we're converting from a little bit of Lenten spiritual showmanship for others to notice, wanting to get ahead, whatever it be, the Lord wants to call us to turn away from that and turn toward the gospel, turn toward him so that we can turn with him. And the readings are full of how we're supposed to be turning with God. After the denunciations of the sinfulness, it comes to the practices God wants. So God, through Isaiah, says, learn to do good. The Master wants to teach us how to do good all our days, but we need to learn. It's not necessarily natural. It's not easy. But to learn, not just to know what is the good, but learn to do it. Make your aim justice, right relationship with God and with others, giving God and others what they truly deserve. Redress the wronged. If we've hurt anybody, that we go and apologize. If others have been hurt, we seek to help them get that justice. Hear the plea of the orphan and in the widow. To look out for those nobody else is looking out for, those who have been taken advantage of. And there's a exhortation here, which is one of the most beautiful that God gives throughout the Old Testament. Come not later, come now. Let us set things right. God isn't letting the call remain just something we have to do by our own effort. He's saying, come now together, let us set this right. I want to help you with all of my paternal love. And don't be afraid, he says, even though your sins be like scarlet, they may be as white as snow. I don't know if you remember, but exactly last year on Tuesday of the second week, we got a big snowstorm here in New York. God gave us a little bit of help to see what that is, see what he wants to do, but far greater than just covering the filth in Times Square with beautiful white powder. But he wants to take the filth and convert it into something good. He doesn't say we'll be covered with snow or we'll look as white as wool. But even though our sins be like scarlet or crimson red, they may become white as wool. God wants to transform even our sins into something holy. It's the great insight of St. Ambrose, that our state after having been reconciled by God is meant, if we really receive the Lord's mercy at the depth with which he gives it, supposed to leave us in a better state than if we had never sinned, because that mercy helps us to become more and more like the Father. Come now, let us set things right. That call is the Lenten call, and God's helping us. Jesus in the Gospel fulfills what through Isaiah he was prophesying, of how God would in fact help us set things right. He wasn't going to stay far away and shower down his helps just like grace is externally. He was going to enter into our entire situation, assuming everything we are except our sin, precisely to help even our most scarlet iniquities become white by his blood. He is coming as the one great one to help us become great in him. He is coming as the icon of the Father so that we might learn together with him how to obey the Father. He is coming as our teacher in order to guide us to the one who sent him. And he summarizes this entire teaching, what the Pharisees totally missed, that he wants us to get and live. That the greatest among you, the one who truly deserves to be called Rabbi, will be your servant. The truly exalted one will be the one who has humbled himself and become the servant of all the rest. That the main aspect of Lent is to help us precisely to become Jesus, who gave his life as a ransom in order to save many. And he became even our servant in order to lift us up. As we prepare to receive that Jesus who has come, we recognize that he doesn't just sit on the seat teaching, but he leaves that seat, gets down, and washes our feet and everything else that needs to be washed clean. And here in Holy Communion, when we receive him aright, he even does that on the inside to help us to rend our hearts fully. And together with him, as he sets things aright, assists us as we pray with him to the Father, as we hunger with him for what the Father hungers, and as we give of ourselves with him as servants of the rest. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.